Not gonna sign, yep.
Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord today.
Well, that was weak. Praise the Lord.
Praise the Lord.
That was better.
So good to be in the house of the Lord tonight, isn't it?
Amen.
It is. It's so good to be in the house of the Lord. Let's just love the Lord right now. Come on. Everybody, let's just love the Lord right now. Lord, we love you.
Yes,
Lord. Come on, somebody love the Lord with me right now. Can you love him? He's loved you so much. Can you love him with some worship right now? Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I am so unworthy. How about you? I'm so unworthy to have his love. I'm so unworthy to have his mercy. I'm so unworthy that he showed me grace, but I stand here complete and whole, but not because of my goodness, but because of God's goodness. And every day I'm just astounded at how God is putting all the pieces together back in my life, one by one by one. Amen. God is so good. I say, God is so good. I say, God is so good. I feel the Holy Ghost. It fell on me. As I was sitting by my wife just a second ago, I begin to feel the Lord. The fingers of the Lord begin to stroke my heart and my mind. And I know somebody here needs a word. I need a word from God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Lord, we love you, Jesus. Come on, let's just pray right now. I'm not going to go any further. I want us to get into a spirit of worship right now. Come on. Drop what you're doing. Drop what's in your mind. Drop the distractions that are around you and focus on the Lord right now. Come on, somebody call on his name. In the name of Jesus. Lord, I know what you put on my heart. I know the spirit that you have placed upon me for this service tonight, God. Let that spirit be felt in every pew right now. Let your spirit be felt in every pew right now in the name of Jesus. God, you're wanting to do something great in our lives. You're wanting to do something powerful in our lives, Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Just give me a minute, I'll get started. God's doing something great. He's doing something wonderful. Oh, how do you get started? If you're turning your Bibles to the book of John chapter 4. Pastor, thank you for asking me to preach tonight. I really appreciate it. I'm humbled by it. Amen. You do such a great job every time. Amen. You minister to my soul. I love my pastor. How about you? I love my pastor, and I appreciate the opportunity. God woke me up about 4 o'clock in the morning. I got up, rustled around 4:30. Couldn't go back to sleep. The Lord was just impressing me in my mind and my heart. Didn't know I was going to preach tonight, but it's just all starting to come together right now. And I feel so humbled by it. I feel so humbled by him. If you ever, I told y'all the other day before I sang Isaiah for 5 chapters. If you go in though, you hear the, if you've studied the word in Isaiah, you'll understand the woes of Isaiah. He preached the woes to the people. Woe is you for your sin. Woe is you for your iniquity. Woe is you. Woe is you. But when he got into the presence of the Lord, he said, woe is me. He quit pointing the finger then and realized I got three and a thumb pointing right back at me. Amen. And he began to say, oh, woe is me. And there's just something about being in the presence of the Lord. You just begin to feel, it's an humbling experience. Anybody here got the Holy Ghost understand what I'm talking about? Come on. Anybody understand what I'm talking about tonight? It's an humbling experience. In John chapter 4 and verse 21, and Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship ye know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and everybody say, now is. Everybody say, now is. When the true worshipers, everybody say, the true worshipers shall worship the Father. Everybody say, in spirit. Come on. And in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. In verse 24, if you'll read it with me. For God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. If you believe that, lift your hands to the Lord right now. Lord, we love you. We praise you. Thank you for your spirit that is in this place right now. I pray that I don't offend no one, that I don't rub the cat the wrong way, that I don't get out of line or order. I pray I preach revival, Lord, in your spirit in this place, and help and heal somebody, touch somebody's life, touch somebody's soul. God, I'm just an old country boy from Rome, Georgia. God, Lord, articulate my mouth, Lord. Let me say this in a way that grips somebody's heart in the name of Jesus. And everybody said amen. Amen, amen, amen. Jesus, in Matthew 16, one day Jesus was being confronted by the Pharisees. They continually came to Jesus and harassed him and hounded him. They did not like the message that he was preaching because it stirred the status quo. The message that Jesus came was not what they wanted to hear. He spoke of something on the other side, and they were looking for a king to establish a kingdom on this side. Come on, somebody. They wanted to overthrow Rome. They wanted to take Nero or whoever was the emperor at that time and let the Jews come back and be the rulers of the world. That's what they had in their mind when Jesus come on to say he's our Messiah. He's going to save us. He's going to put us up in us on the throne. We're going to put him on a throne, a physical throne. But there was something that was missing from his words. They begin to catch on, and they begin to realize this man has not come to establish a worldly kingdom, but he came and he died on a cross to establish a spiritual kingdom, to make sure that you had a way to get out of here and go there.
Amen.
Come on, somebody. Because the blood of bulls and goats could not do what? They could not forgive sin. They rolled it ahead year after year. The cross is so much more powerful than what we understand and what we believe. The cross, when Jesus hung on that cross, David said this in Psalms. He said, I know I'm going to die. I know I'm going to the other side. And I've messed up. Come on, somebody. I've messed up. I've killed. I've got blood on my... I can't even build the temple for the Lord because my hands are so bloody. He said this. He said, though my soul rest in hell. Though my soul rest in hell. Because he knew those sacrifices could not, amen, save him. He said, my hope is in this. Thou will not leave me there. My God. I know where I'm going because the Messiah hasn't come yet. There's something about this we don't get. Every soul that died before the cross could not pass into Canaan land.
Is this all right?
It's quiet in here. Put a little bass in this thing. I'm not throwing my voice. Every soul that died before the cross, they could not cross over into Canaan land. Come on, somebody. But they had, that's why David said, my soul rests in hell. I done got this thing all messed up. Fix it back. Amen.
He said, my soul, though it rest in hell, my hope is in this, that thou will not leave me there. Because the only thing that can save a sinner, the only thing that can give you that hope, that can wash you pure where you can step over to the other side, was the blood of Jesus Christ. The power of the cross is this. It covered not only every sin after the cross, but it covered every sin before the cross. Thank you, brother. The power of the cross is that it not only covered every sin after the cross, but every sin. You're talking about 6,000 years of men that died. 6,000 years. The power and the glory of God is so powerful and so strong. The Bible says in the book of Ephesians, I'm not going to say nothing stupid. I'm going to back it up with the word. Open it back up like you had it a while ago. I messed you up, brother. He said in the book of Ephesians, he said, talking about Christ, he said, there's one Lord and one faith and one baptism, one God who is above all, that is through all, and that is in you all, and one hope of your calling. But then it goes on to talk about that he that ascended. He that who ascended. Come on, who ascended? Say it loud, Brother Chris. Jesus ascended. But it said before he ascended, he first did what? Descended into the bowels of the earth. Do you understand that we always talk about that he went and got the keys to death, hell, and the grave, but we never talk about who was standing at the door waiting on him? It wasn't the devil. I believe there was a line. And when Jesus came, he said he descended into hell and he knocked on the door. Satan, open up. Oh, hallelujah. Satan, open up. And when he knocked on that door, Satan probably hiding in a corner somewhere. But David was standing at the door. So, come on, somebody. He was standing at the door. He said, my hope is you will not leave me there. Oh, my God. You ain't going to leave me here. You see, we get it wrong. We get mixed up. There's hell, and then there's a lake of fire. That's for another lesson, another day. The power of the cross. The power of the cross. The power of the cross. David's standing there. And the Bible says he led them all out. And that were held captive into what? Captivity. Because the blood still had to be taken up to the throne room of God. Oh my God. The spirit of worship. How could a man that was after God's own heart be sitting in hell? But he sat there. For 3,000 to 4,000 years, he sat there patiently. That's an overwhelming thought. That's an overwhelming thought. David, yes. He said, my hope is in this. Thou will not leave me there. Some of us sometimes, because of things that happen in our life, we start going through some hell. Am I talking to anybody tonight? If we're not careful and we make the wrong decisions, you can start having a little hell on earth. Amen. Suffering can happen here. But I know this, what I felt at the beginning of this message. My hope is that he did not and will not leave me there. Because I don't care what goes on in mine or your life. I have been bought and paid for with a price. Come on. I have been bought and paid for. You've got that lost loved one that used to be in church. Don't worry about them. They have been bought and paid for with a price. Just how long they sit in hell is their own decision. Come on. But there's coming a day. There's coming a time where, like David, they're going to feel the Spirit of God knock on the door of their heart and say, come on back. I felt it. Come on back. It's time to come back. I'm telling you right now, there's some prayers that are about to be answered. I know my kids, they're coming back. My brothers, they're coming back. Come on, somebody. They are coming back. Josh is going to come back. They're coming back. I have messed this message all up. That's all right. The spirit of worship. He said in one place, the Pharisees came to him. And this is what I was going to get at a while ago. They said, this woman, she married a man. And he died. And she married another one. And then he died. And she married another one. Come on, somebody. And then he died. And she married him. 7 times this woman got married and they died. And she said, so whose husband will she be? Who will be her husband when she crosses over to the other side? And Jesus said this. He said, you do err because you know not the truth, nor the power, no, not the scriptures, nor the power of God. You do err in your questions, because if you read the scriptures totally, you'd realize that there is no marriage or giving up. But that thought sticks with me, that many times, amen, we can begin to lose our way because we begin to err in our heart, and we begin to err in our mind. We begin to get out of the Word of God, not realizing that Word is the only thing. He told them, he said, you worship God as a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship. You and comprise, and we'll give you about a 3-week Bible study in 5 minutes. 3 minutes. You're comprised of 3 elements. You have a body. Anybody have a body here tonight? I hope you do, because you're going to be scary if you don't. You have a soul and you have a spirit. This is your body. This is your soul. Your soul is everything that makes you who you are. Every thought, every decision, everything that happened to you, how you reacted to it. There are no two minds alike, just like there's no two fingerprints. There are no two minds that are alike. Amen. Amen. There's no two minds that are alike in this world. It is your spiritual fingerprint of who you are. Nobody has ever lived your life. Nobody has ever made your decisions. I'm going to show you the difference between soul and spirit. Nobody has ever, because how can we worship if we don't understand? And God began to give me a revelation of understanding. Your soul is your mind. Right here is everything that you are. Everybody is different. Everybody has lived a different life. And your spirit rests right here. All right. It's going to get, say, it's going to get good in a minute.
It's going to get good.
Everybody say body.
Body.
Soul.
Soul.
Spirit.
Spirit.
As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. Right? As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of the heart. You want to know what a man's thinking? Listen to him talk for just a little while. You want to know how faithful he is to your pastor? Go out to eat with him. Come on, somebody. Come on now. You want to know whether he's a thief or not? Hang out with him. You want to know if he has a perverted spirit? He'll tell you a dirty joke somewhere. As a man thinks, God has conditioned us where we can't help it, Pastor Allen. We're going to speak what's in our mind. It's going to fester and sit in our heart, because our heart is the spirit, is the place where our emotional seat. And there are two spirits. There's the capital S, the spirit of God, and then there is the spirit of man. And the spirit of man, amen, is what interferes our joy. Somebody, a lot of times people think, why is Walter so crazy over there? Why is he just always acting the fool? I'll act the fool for Jesus. I went to rock concerts, banged my head like this. I got in pits and went around and around. I went to the parties and went to the dance floor and did all the hoochie-coochie. If I could do that in my spirit, what can I do for him when his spirit begins to fall on me? When Chris preaches, you'll run an aisle while he's preaching. Come on. I know it's Sunday night and you're tired, but get excited a little bit with me. And what you put here determines how you feel right here. You ever gone to church and wondered, what is everybody so excited about? Why is everybody act like they're so happy? I ain't happy. There's so many spirits that the enemy tries to put upon us. Why? He wants to kill the spirit of worship. You kill the spirit of worship in a church and you knock out the power of God. He said, you kill the spirit of worship and you'll have an ineffective church. And the devil will do everything he can. You have spirits in your own life that you have to struggle and you have to fight with. You have spirits on the job. Amen. People, oh God. People talking to you, making you mad. Spirit of jealousy. The spirit of anger. Now I'm going to ask you a question tonight that I want you to answer yourself. If you were totally honest, what is your controlling spirit? If you were totally honest, not with me, but with yourself, what would be said your controlling spirit was in your life? If you want to know some of the areas of what a person's controlling spirit is, get them emotional. Oh, it's all right. It's quiet here tonight. I preach harder with you than we're doing right now. I'm playing. Get them emotional. I used to say just get them angry. But that's only when you see a spirit come out of them, you're like, whoa. Hey, I've been there. I've had to repent this year of being there. I'm going to be honest. Come on now. How many got mad and finally said what you were really thinking the whole time? Come on. You could tear down a relationship in one minute that took you years to build. I'm not just talking about your spouse. I'm talking about your mama, your daddy. Come on, somebody. I'm talking about that friend that you've been friends with from high school. You can destroy everything by just going ahead and saying what you think. Amen. And if you want to know how a person thinks, get them emotional.
That's right.
You ever notice people when they're drunk say a lot? Y'all remember them days back in the old times before you met God? I know all y'all been holy rollers since the time you were born. But when my daddy died, we had some wild gears, brother. He died when I was 17 years old, and mama wasn't able to take care of us. And buddy, we just started going crazy, like boys will do sometimes. We full of the devil, amen. We had to come back to the church and get the Holy Ghost prayed back into us. We got into some meanness. Amen. Ain't nobody ever been there but me, right? All right. That made me forget where I was going for a second there. Give him another drink, he'll tell it all. But you ever notice they'll get emotional? And if they don't like you, and you didn't know they didn't like you, you might find out if they don't like you. Huh? You may find out just exactly what they think about you. They may call back in the morning and try to fix it up and patch it up. But words that are let loose are words that can't be taken back. What did the Bible say would be a perfect Christian? One that could bridle his tongue. Because until you get this right, and until you get this right, you ain't never getting this right. Can I say that again, Brother Chris? Until this gets right, and this gets right, this will never be right. You'll always be having to repent. You'll always be coming back to have to pray through. Thank God I'm not having to pray through anymore. I'm staying prayed through. How about you? I'm not saying I don't go through ups and downs, but I'm staying prayed through. Amen. So he said in the Word of God, he said, they that worship me must worship what? In spirit and in truth. Spirit is when your spirit becomes totally submitted to His Spirit, and His Spirit can freely move into your life without any interference from your spirits. I was over here praying. I told Cindy and I told Joanne and Les about it. I was praying, and I started praying about a month ago. Pastor, you'd be preaching, and you started stirring me about some things you were saying. And I started praying for my kids. And I felt the Lord touch me. He said, pray that you gain complete control over the spirits in your life. And when you can maintain and control every wrong spirit in your life that tries to rise up, amen, he said, then you'll have authority as your children over the spirits that are trying to claim their lives. But you can't have power and authority that claims control over them spirits until you begin to gain control over your spirit. Revelation.
Yeah. Hit me. Right there. Through this preaching. Revelation.
I don't know if that was what you was talking about that night, but that's the way I took it. It's the way God spoke to my heart. You know how I know that man's anointed? He never preaches that something don't apply to me in my life. My granddad taught me that a long time ago. You know, not everything's going to apply to you. So God's Spirit wants to come into your vessel. Know you what? Know you not that your bodies are the temple of the Holy Ghost? Amen. And the Holy Ghost is sitting there, and it's wanting to be the main spirit that shows forth. Amen. But it's having to battle all these other spirits that are wildly out of control every time your emotions get set. Husbands, let me tell you what the Word says in Peter, 1 Peter. It says, if you try to come and worship to the temple to worship, amen, and you've got an alt between you and your wife, he said, put down your hands, put down your clothes, and go to your house and apologize to your wife. We don't like this kind of preaching. He said, and when you got that straightened out, why? Because when there's disunity, there's so many spirits that are stirring. He said, when you get her set straight, get right. You're the one getting set right. When you get things between you and her right, then come back to the temple and worship me, because now your worship is not hindered by the wrong spirits that are trying to dominate your life. My God, my God, my God. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. I'm trying to give you something you go home with and say, that changed my life. That turned my mind around a little bit. Do I need to quit? I feel at ease right now. So they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. So until your spirit, let me tell you what. You can't have a right spirit and be wrong with a man of God. I'll be easy. But don't think, because see, husbands are the head of the home. This is Bible. I'm not trying to be chauvinistic. I'm not going to defend myself. This is the Word of God. Christ is the head of the husband. The husband's the head of the wife. Amen. And it goes down. Do you realize somewhere in there He placed a pastor in your life? And you get out of line with your pastor, you're getting out of line with God. Come on. Don't come to my house and talk about the man of God. David said, I will not touch the Lord's anointed. He's delivered to me, but sometimes the devil will work with your mind and give you something that ain't really yours to have. Amen. And that man was the devil. I believe it was the enemy that laid Saul right there to tempt David to take his life. But it was not David's place to take the life of the king. God puts up whom He will, and God sets down who He will. Come on, somebody. And he said, I will not touch the Lord. He was so close to God at that time that just cutting the hem of his garment to prove he had been there. Got him so filled with conviction that it come all over him just touching his garment. And he said, I will not touch the Lord. You want to get out of the Spirit of God? Get out of sync with your pastor. I believe in submitting to someone. I believe it. This is going over like a lead brick right now. But I'll throw it again. You ain't never going to submit to God who you don't see if you ain't learned how to submit to somebody you can see.
That's right.
Amen. How are you going to submit to some invisible force that many times you might even have doubt is out there? When you get, how are you going to submit to a man if you can't submit to God? Y'all understand what I'm saying. They that worship must worship in spirit and in truth. When you begin to worship with your spirit in check, and you've gotten and reined in your spirit and got it under control, you will begin to see the signs and the wonders and the miracles begin to happen in your life all around you. When your spirit gets to the place where His Spirit can come in at any time. Amen. Let me give you an example. Today I went and bid a job. Down in Bremen. And while I was standing there, the customer asked me a question. That if I had not kept my spirit under control and learned 2 days before, when I had opposition come against me, I would not have known the answer to her question. She was testing me. She works at Home Depot. I didn't know that. She didn't tell me until I answered the question and lost a $7,000 job. Because I was posting, you know, I post through Facebook Marketplace groups. I said, hey, man, if you want to start a business, great way to do it. And I can't even get to everything right now. And sometimes people will come and agitate you because they're trying to knock out the competition. There's just rascals out there. You ever known a rascal? There's rascals out there. They don't care. And this man began to come on, and he began to, in the open, critique my work of the pictures that I set there. And I knew what he was doing, and I got mad. It made me mad. It upset me. And I sent him a message, private message, said, hey, man, what's going on? Why are you doing this? I mean, you know, I didn't show my anger. I kept it under check. Be angry. You can be angry. See, you can have emotions. It's just what you do with them that determines whether you can worship Him in His Spirit and see something happen in your life. You know why we have so many healings in this place? Because our pastor's spirit is right. He's got his spirit right. So therefore, when he's praying for you, many times his faith will come in and touch your body, because when your spirit's right and you pray for somebody, God will give you authority over their situation. But if you got battling spirits, that's why I lay hands suddenly on no man. It ain't because of the man you're laying hands on. It's you, the man, that needs to make sure that you're right before you lay hands on that man. We've always heard it the other way. But it's you he's talking to. Don't just run up and lay hands on somebody. Because if you pray in the name of Jesus and it's of no effect, then what is the use of using his name in vain?
Oh my God.
He said not to use his name in vain. We always thought that was a cuss word. But make sure your spirit is right. And then you can lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. That's the word. We wonder why signs, wonders, and miracles are absent from our lives. It's because so many spirits are battling his spirit. Because the real throne room is not in heaven. The real throne room is in you. Come on, somebody. Where do you accept Jesus if you do it that way? Where do you bring Jesus in? Where does the Holy Ghost fall in? In the heart. I've never seen... Chris, have you ever seen somebody get the Holy Ghost that didn't get a little bit emotional? I bet you prayed some people through the Holy Ghost, haven't you? Because there's something I have too. We both are ministers and we pray people through the Holy Ghost. Before they can get the Holy Ghost, the way the Day of Pentecost Holy Ghost, is their spirit has got to surrender and break to His spirit. When you get a chronic seeker, you ever had a chronic seeker, Pastor? I've had them. Those that come all the time and they, 2-3 years go by, it's not because the church is doing anything wrong. It's not because the Holy Ghost isn't real. It's because there's something in their spirit that God's saying, this has got to be broken. This has got to, before I pour my spirit in you, you've got to break this spirit that's got a hold of you. Come on, somebody. Come on, somebody. That's why we raise our hands, because it's an act of surrender. We surrender to you, Lord. I'm surrendering my spirit. I come down this altar. Sometimes I don't have to tell everybody what I'm going through, but I know sometimes when my spirit gets a little sideways, I'll come to church and stand to the side while y'all praying for everybody over there, so I can hide in the crowd, and I'll just begin to say, Lord, touch my spirit. I'll raise my hand and surrender and say, God, will you touch me? I surrender this to you. I surrender this to you, God. I give this to you. I don't know, do I need clothes now? The Word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing, even dividing asunder of the soul and spirit, and the joints and marrow, and it is the discerners of the thoughts and the intent of your heart. Jesus knew who to mess with and who to leave alone, because He knew the intents of their heart. He knew when to talk to a man like Nicodemus that came in the middle of the night, because he was scared of the Pharisee council. And he climbed up and he said, Lord, and he began to have a conversation with Jesus. And Jesus said, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot see the kingdom of God. He said, how can I be born again? He said, do I come into my mother's womb? I don't understand. He said, no, that which is flesh, born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto you, you must be born again. He that cometh to me, what is he got to do? Be born of water and of spirit. But he never told the Pharisee council that. And Nicodemus sat on the Pharisee council. He was a ruler. He was an important man. He wasn't just some drunk sinner coming in. He was an important man. But Jesus knew he was pure in his heart. When you come into the house of God, do you come in here with a pure intent heart? Are you seeking more knowledge and understanding of God? Or do you just already know it all? That's why I like listening to the pastor. Because so many times I've studied that Bible. I've read it 3 times getting licensed. You're going to every one of those steps. Local license, general license. Amen. Then you get ordained. I had to read that Bible cover to cover all the way through. Amen. And I got finally, and later on in life, I began to see the importance of it. And I've read it cover to cover many times, cover to cover. I know the Word of God, but I don't know so much that I can't learn something else. Come on. Come on. You're here probably because God is wanting to lead you into something deeper than what you already know. My God. Come on. And I come to church all the time, and I have to tell him on the way out of the brother, I have never seen it that way. I've never heard it preached that way. I've learned. In other words, I'm saying, man, you taught me something tonight. I got to go home and touch you on that. I got to go digest that a little bit. You added something to my soul. You're here tonight because God is wanting to add something to your soul. So if you understand what soul is, you know just now I was saying God wants to add something to your mind. Because if He can do something greater in your mind than He's already done, and it can get into your heart, when you speak, you'll speak with a greater authority and power than you've ever spoken with. That's why that right there is so important. That's why, am I in a God-fearing church here today? That's why that water right there, I'm pointing to the water, not the choir loft. That's why that water right there is so important. You want to rise another level in an understanding of God? Go to that water the way Peter went to the water. Come on, somebody. And you'll begin to see God in a deeper way than you've ever seen Him before in your life. Go to that water the way when Paul passed to the upper coast of Ephesus, went to that water. Is anybody hearing me right now? Amen. Because there's something about that name. There's something about that name that causes you to walk in authority. That causes you to walk in power and authority over spirits. Everybody say spirits. I know I'm on track. There's not a person in here that can say, I don't battle some things within myself. We can battle some things within ourselves against each other if we're not careful.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Come on. The devil's always trying to stir up a mess.
Always.
Amen. Yes. Always. Whenever our families get together, when I was young, amen, I can't name which one because it's going on, probably going on Facebook Live and they'll call me and get mad at me. But there was one when our families would get together that was always stirring up trouble with the kids. They was a troublemaker. Y'all ain't never had one in y'all's family, have you? I might have been the troublemaker from time to time. Amen. Always trying to stir something up. Biting somebody, pulling somebody's hair, taking their toy, telling on them. Just causing division in the house. Y'all know what I'm talking about? And we'd half of us would go home with whippings and we're supposed to be there having fun. The devil would like to put it in the church. He wants to stir up trouble. Because if he knows he can get those old spirits stirred up inside of you, he'll defeat revival. He'll defeat the Holy Ghost falling. He'll defeat the spirit of worship falling. Come on, somebody. He'll defeat somebody getting saved if he can stir up those old spirits. Now I'm going to hurry up and close. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, I had 3 pages here. I got through half of one. And I'm not going to go through all 3. I know when to quit. As that one preacher said, he said, I'm on my last and third point. And you could feel the sigh of relief in the crowd because he'd been preaching for 1 hour and 15 minutes. My papa preached one time for 2 hours straight one Sunday morning. Did he not? That old time preaching, we'd vote another pastor in nowadays if a pastor preached for 2 hours. I'm telling you the truth. He preached for 2 hours. There was some painful walking out of that place that day. Whoo, I'm sore. We must worship correctly. I want revival. I want revival. I want to come to church and feel the spirit of revival. Don't you? I love the prayers up here. Man, if we could take what's going on right here when you're praying for people and take it back to the pew with us and start rejoicing in the pew based on what we're feeling up here. Y'all know I'm telling the truth. My God, we'd start having some services that you couldn't contain. You'd be talking about for 2 years. Come on. Come on, somebody. We'd start having a move of God even greater than what we're having now. Because that, man, I'm telling you, it's here. I feel it when I'm up here assisting you, amen, and praying for people. But there's such a pure spirit of the Holy Ghost that begins to fall in this altar. Come on. I don't want to just have revival. I want to be a part of the revival. I want to be a part of the worship. I want to be one that said, man, that guy acted crazy this morning. He shouted like a wild man. They that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. He said, you do err because you don't know the Scriptures. And therefore, because you don't understand the Scriptures, you don't understand the power of God. Pastor's always giving something to us from the Scripture. Amen? And adding something to our life. It's up to us to turn that into something that is beautiful. Okay, I'll take another 10 minutes and give another study and prove my point if y'all want me to, or somebody say amen. The sower went out to sow a field. Come on. It's the sowing of the seed that brings forth a harvest. Pastor's throwing the seed out. I'm telling you, it's being thrown. Come on, the seed is thrown. I'm not just trying to butter him up. We don't golf together. Come on. Amen. Rather even get to talk with him. I mean, I'm busy. He's busy. Hey, this is not a butter enough. I believe in my pastor. And he's sowing the seed. It's up to us. Amen. To bring something beautiful out of it. It's up to us. When he sows it into your spirit, is it a wayside spirit? Is it a defeated spirit? Is it a discouraged spirit? It is a depressed spirit? Is it an oppressed spirit? It is an angry spirit? Is it a jealous spirit? Come on. What kind of spirit is he sowing his seed into? What if one day 3/4 of the church had God's spirit moving instead of their spirit when he's sowing the seed? Come on. If 3/4 of us all at one time could get our spirit in line with his spirit. My God, what would happen? I challenge you. I'm not here beating you down. I'm challenging you. Get excited. Begin to worship him in the right spirit. If you can't get free to worship, I ain't talking about acting like me. I'm closing. Oh, I told the story. I didn't finish it. He said he had 3 points, and he preached all 3 points. He said, I'm on my third and last point, and there was a sigh that went through. He said, but I got it broken up into 7 parts. Jeff Arnold said one time, I landed in the plane. I got a long runway, though. I got them scared to death. We got to break this thing into 22 subparticles here. Subparts. I love you. This has become my home. This has become my home. He has quickly become my pastor and my pastor's wife. You've quickly become my friends. Brother Chris, y'all giving us that job at that time, man, it was a great moment. It helped us. You become a friend. I'm going to come fix that step. I made some friends. I've got to know some people. Amen. I love WOW, the Women of Wonder. Y'all don't know what I'm talking about. At the luau, amen, Sister Denise told me that we got them up there to take the pictures, the ladies that had created all that, and it was the 3 ladies that sit here. And she said, we're WOW. I said, what is WOW? We're Women of Wonder. I've met the Women of Wonder in the church. God's been good to me here. Amen. I was searching for a place. I was searching for somewhere to fit. I was searching for somewhere to be a part. I was searching for somewhere for my kids to come to. I was searching our kids to come to. I was searching for somewhere where my soul could be fed, because it's been a long time. I've heard a lot of preaching, but man, it's been a long time since somebody had really fed my soul. Y'all hear me right now? Amen. And you made it easy here. Amen. And I want to be a part. I want to add a part. I don't want to be a hindrance. I don't want to slow it down. Amen. You don't have to. I'm not telling you. You've got to act like me. Ain't nobody like me. I don't care what people think. Some people have a problem with that. Amen. You get a doctor, he's told all the way through med school, you can't let your emotions get too out of place. Because if your hands start shaking just a little bit, you'll never be a surgeon again. You know what I'm saying? You ain't got to act like me. But I just hate the word of God tonight. And somehow, somewhere, begin to check your spirit and say, God, do I have these spirits under control? Does every spirit line up with your spirit? And I'm closing with this. Sister Penny, if you'll come on. Or sister, come on. Amen. And I'm closing. I see I got the piano player coming. I just give y'all a little bit of hope. So that guy got on there and he kind of embarrassed me, because one of the things he pointed out, it was the first deck I built, and that one thing I had done wrong. I did. I ain't perfect. So when he told me, he said, this is something you did wrong. And he told me out in public, I deleted the post. And I wanted to send him a nasty letter, because I'm just human like you. But the Bible says to be angry. You can have the emotion of anger. People can stir. It ain't wrong to be angry. But don't sin. Be angry, but sin not. Everybody's going to have a spirit of lust hit their eyes, especially nowadays. But it's what you do with it that determines whether it affects your soul. There's spirits all around. That half-naked girl walks by you and the devil slaps you in the back of the head and says, look at that. Ask for forgiveness before your wife sees you. Y'all don't like getting real, do you? But if you still have that image in your head on the way home, now it's turning into sin. If you're still thinking about her the next day, you got a spiritual problem. Address it. Come on, somebody. He taught me something right there. Because he made me go online and begin to look at what I had done wrong. And he was right. But if I had gotten mad and blessed him out, I'd have never stopped long enough. I'd have been stirred up for 2 or 3 days. Y'all know how it is. But I kept that spirit in check. And I thought, what is he talking about? And I went and looked up the definition, and he was right. Kind of embarrassed me a little bit. I don't like being wrong. My wife makes me wrong all the time, but I don't like being wrong, honey. And I went out on that job today. And I told her, I said, and she asked me a question. I said, I've never had a customer, and I've been doing construction for a long time. I've never had a customer ask me that question. And it was the very thing that man had said I had done wrong, that I had went and researched. It didn't hit me. We left there, and it was a breeze, and we come up 78, and we turned on that road that comes across the temple exit there. And we was almost there where the Dollar General was, and all of a sudden, the Holy Ghost slapped me in the back of the head and said, when you gonna give me some credit? And all of a sudden, that whole scenario went through my head. And I told her, I said, God is looking out for us. He let that man, what I thought was trying to hurt me for my destruction, God meant for my good. And if I had been like the sinner, Walter, and gotten mad and told him off and not kept that spirit in check, I never would have known the right answer, amen, to get that job, standing there, need the job, amen. And God knew that. He said, I will supply all of your needs according not to your riches and glory, his, come on, his. And I just began to cry, didn't I, baby? She said, you sure are emotional today. It just overwhelmed me. I said, God is looking out for us. God loves us. God cares about us. I don't believe in coincidence. You can't tell me that man didn't do that, amen, on his own. God did that. God said, hey, he don't know this, and he needs to know this. If he keeps his spirit right, I'm going to bless him. It was a test. I said it was a test. And God was like, I'm going to go over at Gabriel, go over and slap him in the back of the head and get him to get mad at that guy and tell him he's doing it wrong. Because if he keeps his spirit checked, I know him, he'll go research it and he'll find out. And I know that woman's going to test him, amen, when he's going and giving that bid. And I know he needs that job. You see how God works? So we're going to, if his spirit is right, he's going to get a blessing. I'm going to bless him. How many of y'all stand? How many opportunities have passed us by? And we, woe is me, and God said, not woe is you, woe is your spirit. Because what you thought was your hardship or trial, tribulation, I was sending tragedy your way to give you a blessing. Y'all hear me? I was sending tragedy your way. I was sending hardship your way. Because the only way you can get a real blessing from God is to keep your spirit submitted to his spirit. Be angry, sin not. Amen. God, help me not to forget this message tonight that you gave me. Preachers can forget what they preach sometimes. Help me to remember this. Don't let my spirit... You know, I remember pastoring... And a lot of times, if it would happen this way, somebody would be the key to that service unloosening. They wasn't always the same person. But God would begin to fall on somebody. And they would begin that anointing would just begin to flow over them in worship. Not preaching, they might not have been a singer. Just Sister Susie sitting back here on the pew. She never does much of anything but sit there and preach, say amen, pay her tithes. You know, she's not out there. But then all of a sudden God says, you're the key to this service tonight. And he touches her. And all of a sudden that woman that you don't really notice because she's just sitting there all quiet begins to get a little noisy and loud and begins to love God and begins to let her spirit flow and the anointing begins to move. I don't want God to say, hey, I want you to be the key to worship in this service tonight, but I've got so many spirits out of control and out of whack that I don't hear his spirit speaking to my spirit. Amen. I don't want that temptation to come and me get mad and angry. Amen. And lose out on a blessing from God. Amen. Amen. God said, he that worships me must worship me in spirit and in truth. Stay in that place. Stay in that place. Stay in that place. Lord, I love you right now. I love you right now. I thank you for your word tonight. I thank you for your anointing in this place. I thank you for what you put on my heart, God. I thank you for the testimony that you give me today for this service and showed me how you can operate in my life with my spirit. I'm talking to somebody. Somebody right now is about to receive a blessing from the Holy Ghost. God's about to bring a blessing in your life, but you're going to be tested first. Can I trust them with this blessing? When I give them this blessing, is their spirit in the right place to do the right thing with what I give them? Or if I give them this blessing, is it going to hurt them because their spirit's wrong? Y'all hear me? Come on. Lord, in the name of Jesus, help me, God, to keep my spirit in the right place so that when I worship you, my worship's not hindered, but my worship is in spirit, the right spirit, and in your truth. In Jesus' name, and everybody said amen. God bless you. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Can you say amen? Praise God. Would you just close your eyes for just a few moments? Hallelujah. What a message. What a God. What a spirit. Don't leave this place tonight if you're uncertain. Don't leave this place tonight if your spirit is not right. Because there is a power, there is a healer, and there is a redeemer. And his name is Jesus.